You're listening to the Whole Church Podcast, a proud member of the Anazal Podcast Network. Our efforts to educate and unite the church are made possible thanks to our sponsors on Patreon, Captivate, and Apple Podcast. You could join them on one of those networks, or you can support the show by making a one-time tip on our Captivate website down below in the show's description.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Whole Church Podcast. No intro thing at the beginning because this is a bonus episode. I don't do those for bonus episodes. That's more work. Bonuses are for you, not to give me more work. It's like how Sabbath is for the man. There you go. That's your verse. Sabbath is for man, not for God. What we think about that for church unity is it means us doing less work for bonus episodes. I am Joshua Knoll, and I am only here for one sole purpose, to introduce TJ Tiberius Juan Blackwell, the greatest podcaster of all time, who's going to introduce me doing an interview with Grace and June. I'm saying this wrong. With Grace. Let me just pause. With Grace, Jis son Kim. We had a lot of fun doing the interview, but we didn't get a chance to do intro outro stuff. We're just here to do that today. TJ, thank you so much for doing this intro to your show.
Oh, you're welcome.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You know, I'm glad to be here.
Yeah. This is usually where you tell us to, like, go to YouTube or something. Yeah. Go to YouTube, rate, review, do something. Or not. Hey, this is probably going to come out on a Friday. If you feel like listening on your way home to work and you're like, I don't want to do anything when I get home, that's fine. This is a bonus for you, too.
Yeah. It's okay. Really.
Yeah. We are still going to briefly do a silly question, though, because we got it. It's the highest form of unity. And if we don't do it, this isn't really the Whole Church Podcast. It's something else. So, TJ, maybe the most difficult silly question to date. Apples or oranges?
Oh, oranges. Easy. Stupid question.
Yeah, I concur. Is that because we're from the South? Or, like, do you think, like, people in Northeast think apples are better and they're just dumb?
Maybe.
Or
maybe. I don't know. As a kid, I just ate oranges a lot because it's the perfect food.
I'm currently drinking orangeade that I made. I just like oranges a lot. Yeah. Oranges are great.
No other fruit, except maybe a banana, is as interactable, you know?
What exactly do you mean by that?
Because, like, every other fruit, you need a tool. Mm-hmm. You don't need one if you want to peel it. But, you know, if you want to peel an apple, you're going to need a knife or an apple peeler.
Yeah.
Oranges aren't like peel.
That. Yeah. So true.
Yeah. And they're also fun to eat.
And the smell is great.
Mm-hmm. And they're delicious.
And you make orange juice.
Yep.
Oranges are superior. In fact, yeah, maybe that's a new stipulation. You know, we got, like, the Trinity. Jesus is God. Yeah, these tier one church unity issues. You got to like oranges more than apples. Yep. Everything else.
Yep.
Maybe secondary, tertiary stuff. But, like, you know, who God is, who Jesus is, oranges over apples. Those are the main things.
Yeah. I've never had an apple good enough that to the point where I would have eaten it over, like, an average orange.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, sometimes I like apples. You know, like, I'll go get a green apple. I'll eat apple pie is great.
Yeah.
But, like, if you just hand me an apple and an orange, and you're like, yeah, you got to eat one of these. I'm eating the orange.
Yeah. I will say, I mean, it does depend. It depends on what I'm about to do. Because if my hands need to be clean, I probably am not going to eat the orange.
Although the apple is probably still going to be kind of messy, just not as messy.
Yeah.
I think it's worth it. I'm still going to eat the orange, even if I do need my hands to be clean. I don't care.
I probably would still eat the orange. One time, and this is all I'll say on the matter before we move on. One time in middle school, I had 14 oranges for lunch.
Praise God.
It was awesome.
See, stuff like that is like when earlier you called to tell me something, my first thought was TJ called and told me he has diabetes now. But I feel like you're not going to call to tell me. It's just going to casually come up sometime. You're like, oh, by the way, if you do drink an entire pint of Dr. Pepper every day, you might get diabetes. I figured that out with a little experiment I ran by drinking a pint of Dr. Pepper every day.
Yeah. A pint is not that much.
How much should we? A gallon?
A gallon.
Yeah. Okay. A gallon of Dr. Pepper a day. That's the science experiment. Yeah.
I was say, a pint,
purely like, for
I
scientific reasons. Yeah. Yeah. All right, guys. Well, thanks for hanging around for the silly question. We had to do it. We hope you really enjoy this conversation I have with Grace Jisun Kim about her book that just released. Wasn't supposed to release till August, but just released, Earthbound. Great book. It's a really fun conversation. Just talking about environmental concerns, church unity, all the stuff that we, you know, like around here. All right. I am here with Grace Jisun Kim. We are really excited. We're going to be talking about her upcoming book that should be out by the time you guys are listening to this, Earthbound: God at the Intersection of Climate and Justice. We have a lot of fun with this. Before we get too much into it, Grace, this is your first time on our podcast, the Whole Church Podcast. I wanted to just ask you a little bit about yourself for those listening. What do you think they might want to know as far as like your faith journey and what you do?
Okay. Well, thank you, Joshua, for inviting me to be on your podcast. I'm so sad that it's taken this long to be on your podcast. Yes. But anyway, thank you so much. It was really good to reconnect with you when I did that Homebrew Christianity live podcast in Holy Trinity Lutheran Church in Chapel Hill. So it was great to see you there. And just to say a little bit about myself, I'm a professor of theology at Earlham School of Religion and written many books. And the one that we'll be discussing is actually my 25th book. And I'm not a numbers person. Yeah, but it's like so exciting that it came out in the year 2025. So it'll be easy for me to remember, because some books, you know, you're trying to remember what year it came out. So this one, I won't be able to forget. So it's my 25th book, year 2025. And the book is on climate change. So I've done a lot of work on climate change with the World Council of Churches, with the Presbyterian Church USA, and other organizations. So that's been part of my kind of work aside from the teaching. And I also am a host of Madang Podcast, which is hosted by Christian Century. And that is, you know, I only do one a month if I can get it done, and inviting new authors to share their new book. And, you know, I've been doing it for about 2.5 years. It's a lot of work. So I'm just grateful for podcasters like you that make it look so easy, because I find it so difficult to do.
Man, yeah, it depends on the week.
Okay, I see. Oh, man. So it's great to be here with you. So thanks again for inviting me.
Yeah, I'm really excited to get to talk to you on our show. For those listening, fill you guys in. I know Grace from Theology Beer Camp. So I met her there with Trip Fuller, you know, that kind of crowd. A lot of them have been on the show before, so I think they're familiar. And then, yeah, over the summer, I think I've mentioned on the show before, at Pastor Will's church. So that's actually my pastor, my church. I just don't
live near there. Oh, I didn't know it was your church.
Yeah, I don't live near there, but it's my church because I wanted to change membership for others.
It's a great church.
Will's my pastor, so it's like I might as well just make it my church. Yeah, it's great. Yeah. Beautiful place too. I think that's actually the first place we met, where if you were there a couple years ago when Theology Camp was there. Yeah. So that's always cool. Just fun making those connections. Yeah.
That was an unforgettable beer camp, because, you know, I posted pictures from this year, that live podcast that you were at, which was, you know, hosted by Trip Fuller and Will Rose. Mm-hmm. And people on social media commented, oh, we know how you were on that same stage 3 years ago. So people still remember how I was. So.
Oh, man. Yeah. No, that was it was a fun time.
Yeah.
Oh, man. But so getting your book. Well, let's start easy. Earthbound. We're talking about, you know, a lot of your books have to do with the Holy Spirit, and say this one does tie in. We'll get to there. But the focus of it is kind of clean energy, climate change, that kind of stuff. What was the inspiration for, you know, really digging in on that?
Yeah. So I've done a few other books on climate change. So, and sustainability. So one of them is The Transformative Spirit of Love. And then I did one, Making Peace with the Earth, which was published by the World Council of Churches. So that one is an edited volume. Many of the contributors were part of the working group on climate change. And then the third one was co-edited with Hilda Koster, called Planetary Solidarity. So I've done a lot of work on climate change, sustainability, and the church, and ecotheology. So I felt like I just needed to do another book on this topic, which is so important for us today. I think, maybe we've not fully, but I think majority of people are now accepting that climate change is caused by human beings. It's not just like, oh, it's a phase that we're going through. No, there is a direct correlation of how we live, how we pollute the earth, and how we dig up resources from the ground and from the earth and cause all this pollution. That is the direct cause of the climate change. So I felt like I would just do another book on ecotheology and climate and sustainability. So that's what led me to write this book. And, it wasn't like I was planning to write it, but I had written small pieces already. And it just felt like I just need to do a full book on this. So that's what led me to write this particular book, Earthbound.
Yeah, yeah. And I know you're a professor of theology. Do you have a degree in science as well? Or is this more theological reason why you got into it? Or a little bit about that?
So I have no degree in science, but, always my deep interest. So my favorite topic in high school was biology. And I just assumed I was going to go into sciences or the medical field. Mm-hmm. But somehow, well, that's what most Asians expect of their children. And that wasn't expected of me, but I had this really big interest in biology. And, I grew up in Toronto, Canada, and we had grade 13 at the time. So I was the last grade 13 class. So that's 5 years of high school. So I do still remember very clearly my grade 13 biology class. It was Mr. Yamaguchi. And, he said, we're going to start dissecting. He said, we're going to start with a frog, then a rat, and then a cat. So it was quite interesting. So my interest in science was always there. It just, when I got into my undergrad, I thought, I'm going to go into theology and what would be the best degree to prepare me. So I did a undergrad in psychology, which is a Bachelor of Science in Canada. I think it's probably the same here in the US. But that's not like the hardcore science that you kind of were referring to. So my interest in science has always been there. And to study a bit more of it in doing this ecotheology has been very insightful. I think those in the church, you get a notion that science and religion don't go well together, right? Because I think the scare of, evolution, you can't teach kids evolution because that's science and it's false. So we get this notion that science and religion don't come together, but we know it's always gone hand in hand. And I think one of our contemporary theologians that really delves into this is Ilia Delio. And I know she was a speaker at the Beer Camp last year. And I think she's one of the most brilliant minds of our time today, where she does talk about science to talk about God. And it's very enlightening to me. Some of it is really heavy duty science, so I don't get it fully. Yeah,
some of her stuff goes over my head. It's fine.
Yeah, yeah. And even when she talks, it goes over my head too. And she was a guest on my podcast for her newest book, The God Not Yet. But she's really brilliant and she relies on a lot of science. So I don't rely as much on science, but I'm, gleaning from science and what they've been sharing with us of this climate crisis that we are in. And if we continue to live just the same, we are on a path towards destruction. So science has been very clear on that, warning us for decades already. And so it's really important that theologians now kind of take it seriously. Theology is not divorced from the context that we live in or from what science or what psychology or history, all these disciplines are teaching us. We learn from each other and we use each other's resources and learnings and teachings to get even a deeper understanding of who God is and what theology is and what theology means for us today.
Yeah. So one thing you said that I'm trying to word this into a question. It's more just an observation. It was interesting because, you know, science, for the most part, does agree we're on the way to destroying ourselves. It's a little weird for me that just when I've grown up and just what I know of the church and of science, like it feels like my whole life, the church has been saying the world's about to end because the Bible says so. And then science keeps telling me the world's going to end because science says so. And should we just accept the world's going to end, I guess?
Oh, that's like a great question, because I guess that will be like a default for many people who are, you know, in the church and says, who cares about this? Because the world's going to end. You know, Christ talked about the end of, you know, the end times. And even, you know, the book of Revelations is talking about end times. So that's just one little aspect of maybe eschatology and theology. The larger, more important aspect is sustainability and God as creator. So we're not trying to promote a God of destruction, but that God is a God who created the world, who created the universe and created this planet Earth. And in the process, believe that everything is beautiful, that it is good. And so after the light, you know, it is good. After the animals, it is good. And after human beings, it is good. So we are not to be out there to destroy the earth and God's creation. We are called to sustain and to take care of it. So we are not to be this, you know, if we're going to look at Revelations or, you know, the end times, we're not supposed to be instigators of this or create the end times. We are to be co-creators. We are called to be taking care of the earth. And that you can find in the book of Genesis and Psalms and in the New Testament writing. We are not to be destroyers. We are to be caretakers. We are to take care of the animals. We are to take care of the plants and the earth and the water and the air. So for those who are thinking, oh, you know, end time, so who cares? No, our calling is not who cares, but our calling is to take care of God's creation. That's a really big, high calling. And I think we've kind of moved away from it because we've misinterpreted scripture or misused scripture. So one, you know, classic example would be, you know, in the Genesis passage about domination, you know, to rather than taking care, you know, we have gone out to dominate the earth. And in the process of dominating the earth, we have kind of destroyed the earth or are in the path of destruction. So I love your question, but I think it's the wrong question that many people are posing to kind of let themselves rid of the responsibility that they are supposed to be caretakers and not, you know, destroyers. Because that approach, the question that you pose is, you know, then it leaves us, you know, let's go of our own responsibilities and says, you know, you can do whatever you want because end times is near.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think I agree with that. I know for myself, it was difficult, but it wasn't too challenging. Once I started like seeing different ways of reading the Bible, I got to introduce Pete and different stuff going, okay, maybe we're doing this end time stuff wrong. And maybe this isn't what the Bible's trying to tell us to do. The other thing that was challenging for me when we get to like the ecology stuff, for a long time, my understanding, like having studied, you know, just stuff of the earth and science, was like the earth used to be really, really hot. And for a long time, we were calling it global warming. We weren't saying climate change. So I'm really glad you said climate change. But that really confused me when I was like in high school. And I remember going to college originally thought I was going to be a marine biologist. I took an oceanography class. And it was just so like eye opening because he has like this chart from like what we know scientifically of like how hot the earth used to be and how much it's cooled down. And we're still in that cool down period. We're nowhere near as hot as it used to be. And then he zooms in on the graph. And the thing that's actually telling is this is the quickest the earth's temperature has ever changed. It's not really about hot or cold. It's about how rapidly it's changing and how the environment just isn't suited for rapid change of just that basic level temperature part of climate. And it's like that to me really opened my eyes. Was there anything for you when you first saw it that you were like, oh, wait, no, this maybe this is serious?
Yeah, well, it is very serious because, you know, we're depleting the ozone layer. That's the problem. And that's why the temperature is increasing so rapidly. And we need that layer for the protection. And, you know, whatever has been created, it's there to serve a purpose. And so for us to pollute and all this carbon dioxide and the carbon footprint that we are creating, when that ozone layer is depleting, that is going to cause more havoc to the earth. So that is the problem that we are facing. And, you know, with the rapid increase in temperature, you know, it has severe consequences, not just for human beings, but for the whole entire planet and everything on the planet. You know, every year we get record-breaking temperatures. Mm-hmm. So they can, you know, I don't know when they started collecting all the temperatures, but it's record-breaking. And it's been record-breaking in North America and in Europe. You know, most recently in Greece, they're Acropolis has been closed and it's never been closed, but they had to close it down because of the record-breaking temperature. They don't want people passing out there or dying there as they're climbing up. So this is quite alarming. So with the increase in the temperature, it also causes storms to be worse than before. So the tsunamis, you know, in the winter, you know, the blizzards and the flooding is worse. And we have seen this in real time in Texas, but not just in Texas, but in other places where the increase in temperature, you just get worse floods than if it wasn't so, you know, hot in temperature wise. And then it will increase the sea level. So the Oceania area, where there are the islands, you know, they're going to be affected. You know, there will be no islands left soon. If we continue to have this record-breaking temperature, which will, you know, increase the sea level, which will have, you know, tremendous effects on, you know, land and on the ocean and everything else. So it's not just one thing that's being affected. It's just this domino effect. And, you know, people will not be able to live in certain areas anymore because of the high increase in temperatures. We're not made to live in those high temperatures. Our bodies can only tolerate so much. And in those hot temperatures, no vegetation will grow and et cetera, et cetera. The rivers will dry up and et cetera. So this is really alarming. And as you know, people, your listeners and those who listen to your podcast will ask, well, does it matter? Well, yes, it matters because we are people of faith. We cannot allow this destruction of the planet. It's the same thing, you know, much of my work is intersectional. So I do work on climate change and gender justice and racial justice. You know, when racism is killing people, we can't just be as people of faith and say, well, it's not killing me. So, you know, I can just relax and everything's okay. No, as people of faith, we have to fight against this, against gender injustice, against racial injustice. And then also now with this climate injustice, the fact that it's destroying the planet, we can't just sit back and say, well, it's the end times. No, we have to do something about it. We are called to work for justice. And climate is one of the most important social justice issues of our time. So I hope, you know, your listeners will get my book, Earthbound, but then more importantly, do something about this climate change that's happening right before our eyes.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I know you have a limited time, so just like a couple more questions for you and I'll let you go. I do want to say quickly for those who are like, oh, you know, we usually when we talk about climate change, you think of like the Arctic caps and all this like huge stuff, and it's hard for some people to visualize. Start keeping track of how many butterflies you see. This is what one thing that's really crazy. There's a lot of data behind this of like, because I actually started a pollinator garden a few years ago, so I became really hyper aware of this part of it. Butterflies and pollinators in general are just dying out in front of us. And you can track that because their lifespan is shorter. So the cycle of life for all this happens just so much quicker. You can just keep track of that. Just like looking in your garden and seeing how many you have this year, how many is next year. And they're just dying out pretty quick. You know, yes. Without pollinators, our plants are going to die out. And then the things that eat plants die, you know, so yeah. It's like, so start, I know, I think that's maybe an easier one for people to visualize. Getting into like just a couple other questions though. I actually had somebody wanted me to ask you this. So I was just going to ask this one on their behalf. So shout out to Tyler. The question was just kind of, are there any studies or like data points for the intersection of people of faith and sustainability efforts? Do we know whether like people of faith are better or worse for the environment, I guess?
I don't know about the exact data, and I don't know if there has been, but I know that it's very diverse. There are lots of Christians who are advocating for this climate justice issue. And then on the other hand, Christians can be one of the worst polluters because of the misinterpretation of, you know, you can dominate over the earth. You can do whatever you wish with the earth. So I don't know if we're the worst or the best, but I think overall, because I've done, I've looked at some of the European churches and the Asian churches. I know North American churches are really far behind in this sustainability. You know, just clear example, the church that I'm serving in term, we have, because I just witnessed one church member wanted to see how many dishes that we have in our cupboards, and our cupboards are quite large, and there's a lot of plates, a lot of bowls, a lot of cups, and there's a lot of everything. I think maybe like 200. That's my guess of each. So that means like if there were 200 people in the church, there'll be enough setting for everybody. But over time, the churches, and it's not just this church, churches in general in North America are now just using disposable plates, styrofoam plates, paper cups or plastic cups. And we're just throwing away because we can't be bothered to wash all the dishes after fellowship or after some gathering or meal. So this is just churches in general, because I preach in many churches, I visit many churches, and this is what's happening. So overall, the churches here in North America aren't doing a good job. I think in other places, people are doing better jobs. So this is an unfortunate thing. So that's just one aspect of it, but it is a large aspect because churches may only meet once a week. And on that Sunday, to produce bagfuls of garbage is not the route that we should be going. So that person who was doing a survey was wondering whether we should be using the plates again and try to get our dishwasher to work. But even if the dishwasher doesn't work, there's plenty of volunteers who can help wash dishes. So there's ways in that, you know, we can work towards sustainability rather than producing a lot of garbage. We sometimes think, oh, it's only a bag of garbage. No, there was a lot of production that went into producing that plastic bag, the plastic forks, the plastic cups. You know, that's all this pollution that's going into the air. So it's not just that end result of the garbage bag. It is all this process of creating it and then just using it once and throwing it away. That's where the big problem is too. So we just have to look as people of faith, you know, what can we do that is more sustainable? I know many churches are growing vegetable gardens and either eating them or, you know, using those the fruits to serve or give it to kitchens and other places. So, you know, churches own land, and I'm hoping that we can be more thinking more sustainably. How can we kind of use this land to produce, you know, be co-creators and produce mm-hmm. the fruit and vegetables for consumption, rather than just, you know, throwing fertilizer all over. I mean, not fertilizer, it's more pesticides, you know, all over yeah. the lawn, in our homes and all these places. You know, that's also killing us too. So we're not really good in this sustainability act, and we just need to do better.
Yeah. Yeah. I know. I agree with all that. Got a lot of follow-ups I would do. I'm going to save, because I got a couple reference questions at the end, just other than your book, some of the stuff we might want to check out. But before we get to references, my last question is, since you're the Holy Spirit person, you know, we all know you write all the Holy Spirit books. And even in the title of this book, so it's interesting. So the subtitle, you have Justice and Ecology, I think it is. I was trying to...
God at the intersection of justice.
Intersection of climate and justice. That's what I said. Yeah. So I don't know. For me, it's kind of weird. I can see the intersection of climate and justice specifically, where I'm like, okay, justice, climate, I can see where they're related. It's easy for me to think of Holy Spirit and justice. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Holy Spirit and climate's a little weird. I don't know what it is. Like, for me, I'm having a hard time making that connection. How do you bridge that gap for us?
Well, it's weird because people don't write about it. But once people start writing about it, it'll be the norm. Okay. So, but I love this question, because I always say, and in Trips podcast, I always say, everything leads to the Holy Spirit. So, you know, we are, so my book, in the subtitle, God at the Intersection of Climate and Justice. I think, you know, God is the big umbrella. And, you know, mm-hmm. I talk about the Spirit too. But I think we are just thinking about God in these terms of dominance. So we think of God as King, as Lord, as Savior. You know, we have these dominant images. And the images of who God is affect how we behave. So those kind of images allowed the rulers, the emperors, and the kings to say, hey, we can go out and dominate the earth and dominate other people. We can enslave them. We can capture them. We can slaughter them. And I go more in depth in my other book, When God Became White. So you can read this one and read Earthbound, because both of these topics kind of overlap. But in Earthbound, because, you know, I'm saying we need to move away from that so that we don't become human beings who are dominant, who want to dominate over the earth and over God's creation and just use it for our own use and our own profit. So to move away from that, you know, I do then propose different ways of looking at who God is. So I don't want to go into too much depth in the podcast, because I want people to buy the book. But the Spirit part is that it's really the Spirit within us that pushes us and moves us to work for justice. I think many people forget about that. So it is really... You know, some of this is really difficult work. You know, some of us fall into temptation of convenience, of greed, of overconsumption, that, you know, we don't want to live sustainably. We don't want to fight for climate change and climate justice. So we get a little lazy or tired. So for me, it's always, you know, we can't do it alone. So that's why we need the Spirit to help us. It is the Holy Spirit within us that motivates us and pushes us to work for justice. So this climate work is really justice work. So that's why, for me, you know, everything leads to the Spirit, because sometimes we don't have enough energy or the willpower or the strength or even the courage to speak out against this climate justice, against our lawmakers. You know, we need to do something better. You know, Trump took us out of the Paris Agreement. You know, we really need to be part of that Paris Agreement. And that Paris Agreement was to say that U.S. will produce less and less greenhouse gases and, you know, less pollution by a certain year. And he took us out. So, you know, letting us go of this obligation while many other countries signed onto this Paris Agreement. I was actually at that COP meeting in Paris when they were drafting the agreement and we were part of it and Trump took us out. So we really need to be part of this. And so it's really the Holy Spirit that calls us and sustains us and gives us the energy to be part of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Man. All right. So I just have two quick questions for like how we can get other references before just filling our listeners in. If you hold pay attention to some of that Holy Spirit leading us to work together stuff, that's the church unity bit. You know, that's your favorite Christian unity podcast. It does require us to work together with the Spirit and one another to kind of see this stuff done. Again, I'm going to remind you at the end, heard in it, book's name, it's Earthbound, God at the Intersection of Climate and Justice. You should be able to get it now. I'll say the name again at the end so you guys don't forget. But first, Grace, just for references, because a lot of times it can be hard to figure out where to start. For, you know, stuff like you were talking about, doing our own vegetation, doing dishes instead of having paper cups and stuff. And our other podcast, Systematic Ecology, we talked earlier this year about how, like, it's actually difficult to decide to get physical comics or digital because if you're not reading that much, the digital ones actually produce a lot more waste. But if you're reading a lot, you end up saving when you do that. So it's kind of hard to like tell what sometimes it's just difficult to know what is the best thing to do for the environment. Is there like a quick resource that people can go to that's just like, hey, here's what you should do?
I don't know offhand a quick resource, but you could always think to yourself, because this is an ethical choice that you have to make every day. So every morning you're making a choice until you go to bed. And the choice is, okay, in the summertime, are you going to always blast that AC? You don't have to blast it. You know, the whole world is saying Americans are in love with AC. Not everyone around the world has AC, but even if they do, they don't blast it. You know, we think if it's not at 65, you know, we're going to all die. No, we lived with fans for a long time.
Yeah.
So the air conditioning is producing so much pollution and waste, you know, the energy. So every morning we're making that decision, and it'll be the same in the wintertime. Can we wear a thicker sweater rather than, you know, increasing the heat as much as we do? And these are just individual decisions, but as a whole, corporations and churches and seminaries need to make the same decision. Do we have to blast it? Do we have to increase it in the winter? So those are daily questions. And then even the coffee that you drink, the tea that you drink, the foods that you eat, these are all decisions that you have to make every day. And you think, well, quickly about the food, I think Americans, we're eating way too much meat. So can we consume less meat because of the virtual water that goes into producing a hamburger is so much more than having a tomato. So, you know, can we eat less meat? And I say this at churches all the time, and everybody gets a little upset because we Americans love to eat a lot of meat. But it is, can we reduce it to once a day? And if you can do that, maybe once a week, or maybe even just once a month, or just get rid of eating meat. So these are just decisions. So I don't have a manual, but it's, you get up every morning and it's a decision that you're going to make. So every time when we think about wasting water, we think, oh, shorter showers. Yes, do shorter showers, but it's the virtual water. How much water goes into producing the chicken or the cow or, you know, the pig versus vegetarian or the nuts or the beans that you'll be eating. So, you know, this is for all the listeners to decide on your own. I'm not here to say you got to not eat meat, but it is. Can you reduce it? Can you reduce the consumption of and it's fashion too. Everything is producing a lot of waste and pollution. So it's everything you decide from morning till night.
Yeah. I know there's a lot of different research on some of this stuff and not everyone agrees all the time. So I don't want to tell listeners what to do. I will say though, organic meats or free range, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Usually provide less waste than your cheeseburgers and stuff you're getting at like McDonald's, and they're a lot more filling because they have more nutrients, so you don't want as much meat. True. So,
and it's all tied in with also animal cruelty. Yeah. A lot of people aren't eating meat
back because to justice.
Of the animal cruelty aspect. Yeah.
Okay. Last resource question, then repeat the name of the book and we're out of here. This one's a little bit easier, I think. For you yourself, is there a story, like a book or a movie or anything that you're like, man, this is a great story in promotion of, sustainability? Like, I love Wild Robot or like Happy Feet, like the Penguin movie. Is there anything for you that you're like, this is a great green energy movie and people should watch it, or book or
you know? Well, the one that really changed me a lot was that Inconvenient Truth. And then that's with Al Gore. So people, it's an older one. It's probably 20-year documentary. So a lot of the stats have changed, but I think people can go and probably watch it on YouTube. So that was a very important movie for me. And I've shown it in my classes many times. So I would ask people to watch that. And I don't know about books, but anyway, you can read my book, Earthbound, or if you want, The Making Peace with the Earth. That's, you can find these all online. So, but please do order Earthbound, God at the Intersection of Climate and Justice.
Yep, that's exactly what I was going to say. Thank you so much for joining me. This was a lot of fun. Thank you, listeners, for hanging around. One more time, it's Grace G. Sun Kim, Earthbound, God at the Intersection of Climate and Justice. Guys, please check this book out. It should be available when this drops. And we appreciate you reading that. And talk with us. Send me a message. And I'd be glad to talk more about sustainability with any of our listeners, too. So thank you. And thank you, Grace.
Thank you so much, Joshua, for having me on. It was a joy. Thank you so much.
Yeah, I really appreciate it. Wow, that was a great conversation.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah. All right, guys. Thank you so much for listening to that conversation we had with Grace. Of course, we always like to do a few other things here at the outro that I didn't have time for when we did the interview. Before we get to like the normal main stuff, TJ, I asked Grace, I need to know from you too, like as far as like environmental films that you're like, man, this is just a really good film that people should watch. We actually have an entire episode of Systematic Ecology about animated ecological good green energy kind of films, but just in general, doesn't have to be animated. If you have like one that's like people should watch this, what would it be?
That's a hard question. Probably Godzilla Minus One.
I wouldn't have thought of that. That makes sense though. Also, didn't mention in the episode, but Morgan Freeman just narrates a lot of movies that are about the planet. They're all great. You get to hear Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, runner up Planet Earth 2. It's really good.
Yeah. True. All right. So TJ, you want to jump into God moments?
Yeah. So if you're new here, weird choice for our first episode, but we always like to end our show with what we call the God moment. And we just talk about where we saw God in our lives recently, whether that be a blessing, moment of worship, challenge, curse, whatever it is, whatever God's put in your life. And that's what we talk about now before the outro. So I always make Josh go first to give the rest of us plenty of time to think. Josh, do you have a God moment for us?
Yeah, I always have a lot. I just don't want to spoil it for other recordings we might be doing the same day. I'm going to go with an easy one. The other day, we were going to Lowe's to get new hummingbird feeders because like that's where the cheap, easy ones to find were near where I live. And we're like, all right, we'll go there. Wife decides to stop at Goodwill first because we always have to stop at Goodwill for reasons. Even though we find great stuff, I still just don't love stopping at Goodwill. I don't like to shop. Really has nothing to do with Goodwill. Although I do have problems with it as an organization, but that's different. Anyway, stopped at Goodwill on the way to Lowe's, and they just had two identical hummingbird feeders there for like $1 each. So just happened upon them, came back. The hummingbirds love them, and we have like 20 hummingbirds that just swarm our backyard all the time, and it's great. So
just seeing God, A, in the fact that, like, hey, we just randomly found exactly what we needed, and B, in the beauty of just hummingbirds fighting with each other in our yard. Great.
Yeah. 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 Pretty awesome. For me, it's not really that, you know, a lot's going on. A lot of big plans are happening around me, and a lot is changing. So God's definitely doing something. I know that much.
Do I know what's changing?
No, I don't think so.
I was saying, am I just missing part of TJ lore?
Yeah.
Are the Titans come back and Zeus can't give them this time, so he asked you for your help?
No, not this time.
Oh, okay. Well, I'll ask you off air later then.
Yeah, I'm on a sabbatical from Mount Olympus.
I was going to say, I thought you just like sabbatical specifically from dealing with Titans.
Yeah. Well, yeah. All of the duties.
Both. Yeah.
Contained therein. But
duty.
Thank you so much for listening to this episode. We hope you enjoyed it. And, you know, thank you to Grace Kim for her time, which was a long time ago now at this point. But, you know.
Yeah. Yeah. Be sure to share it with your cousins.
Yeah.
It's Friday. Don't bother sharing with anybody else. Just right. Cousins. Yeah. No enemies can wait till weekdays.
Yeah. That Friday spam. Like, let it go.
Yeah. I'm trying to think of like upcoming episodes. I mean, obviously, if you can follow all of the Anazal Podcast Network, if this is coming out on a Friday, you're probably going to get like a Systematic Ecology driving episode today. We probably got Kung Fu Pizza Party with Brandon Knight coming out. My Serenity Life with Brandon Knight comes out Sundays or Saturdays. Oh, it's weekend. I listen to them on Sundays. I'm really not sure when they post because I have Saturday off. So I miss my podcast and then catch up on Sunday. Anyway, check all that out. It's a lot of fun. Upcoming episodes, we got Brian Recker, Hellbent. We still haven't released that because we're trying to do it closer to his book, so we have it recorded. It'll be coming out soon. A roundtable conversation of how churches can better handle the limited time we have with people compared to the amount of time spent with like news, media kind of stuff. What's another one that we've done recently, TJ? We did one recently, and I was like, oh, that was really good.
I don't order things chronologically in my mind. Mm-hmm. Yeah, mm-hmm. Just because I don't know when it's going to come out, so I don't bother trying.
That's fair. Who did we record with last week? Do you remember?
No. Last week does not exist in here.
Me neither. Man, I wish I knew, guys, because I'm pretty sure it was cool. Oh, I do. Bible 101 with Dr. Pete Link and Edward Gravely.
Yeah,
I know it's Dr. Gravely. Yeah. Yeah, that was also was really fun to record, and they're more on the conservative end, but it was a great episode. I think everyone will enjoy it, so check those out. And remember, what was the thing at the end, DJ? Aren't they supposed to be, like, inviting someone to the show?
Francis Chan, I think.
That's right.
We'll go with, yeah, I don't remember the original bit, but we'll go with Francis Chan.
Yeah, yeah, it's at the end of season one, but you guys have to invite him, so...
Yeah.
If you don't, it won't happen.
Pretty please.
Yeah.
Thank you for listening to the Whole Church Podcast. We hope you enjoyed the show. Remember, you can always sponsor our efforts to educate and unite the church on Captivate, Patreon, or Apple Podcast. If you're not into the subscription thing, again, you can leave a one-time tip on our Captivate website down below in the description notes. Thank you again, and please come back next week.